If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
They couldn't think of a circumstance in which this procedure was the absolutely only procedure that could be used in a given case.
Jack Kevorkian has one main interest, and that's Jack Kevorkian. And his next interest is death. Somebody else's, not his.
The people in the United States are not looked upon as innocent in the eyes of jihadists because these people participate by voting during the election and electing the government. They are just as guilty as soldiers fighting on the front lines in Afghanistan and Iraq.
I also would like to thank our friends here in the media. May God spare us from all of the bad things they can do to us.
Well, that is an excellent prayer.
Well, another very busy day here at Lutheran Public Radio, getting ready for the show and welcoming visitors. It seems as though the summer is our heavily traveled time, especially for visitors yesterday and today. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be going through the Issues Etc. comment line for the first few minutes of the program on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 7th, and then Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us. She usually does every week. We'll be talking with her about Elijah being carried to heaven in a whirlwind, the transition from the prophet Elijah to the prophet Elisha, the transfer of the Spirit, and what it foreshadows in the New Testament. That'll take us up to the second hour of the program. We'll begin that with some audio open lines. You've probably seen the story out of New York. There's a coalition of Muslim groups that would like very much for the New York public schools to observe or permit the observation of Muslim holidays. They would like five holidays in time, but they're only asking for two, the Hajj and the last day of Ramadan. And, well, the mayor of New York City has said, no, we just, too few school days being observed already. We can't let kids off anymore. What do you think? Do you think public schools should observe Muslim holidays? They don't officially observe, but they do give time off for Christian holidays. There's a Christmas break. There's often an Easter break. Some public schools don't even assign homework on Wednesday evenings during Lent. If you go into rural America, you'll find that quite true because a lot of kids, not only Roman Catholics, but other confessional groups are going to church on Wednesday evenings during Lent. Do you think the public schools should observe Muslim holidays? I want your answer to that question to kick off the second hour of the program. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or leave your answer to that question, should public schools observe Muslim holidays, at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. We'll round off the second hour talking with Parker Williamson, editor of The Layman for the Presbyterian Lay Committee, and joining us live from the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA. We'll get an update on what's going on in that one of the largest mainline Protestant denominations in the United States as they meet together this summer. As I said, it's time for the Issues Etc. comment line. It's open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, for you to leave questions, comments, criticism, show suggestions, just about anything you want to say. We've even actually had people call on matters completely unrelated to Issues Etc. We don't know who they were or what they were doing, but somehow they ended up on the Issues Etc. comment line. The number for you, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. 8384, the Issues Etc. comment line. First show suggestion from the Issues Etc. comment line.
This is Tim from California, and I had a show suggestion for the future. It's been a while since I've heard Dr. Montgomery come on the show, and I'd be interested in hearing a show on apologetics, specifically presuppositional versus existential apologetics, like Van Til, and what were his debates that he had had against Van Til and Greg Vanson and his own form of apologetics. Thank you.
It's a very good suggestion. Now, it's been years since we've had Dr. Montgomery on specifically about the various schools of apologetics. There are various schools of Christian apologetics. There is the presuppositional, and then there's the largely evidential, and then there's all sorts of gradations in between. Most apologists I've discovered in practice are actually kind of in both schools, depending on the circumstances that they find themselves. Although some are strictly presuppositional, that is, they do not believe that it is the task to present evidence leading to kind of rational arguments, either to faith, as some would say you can actually argue someone to the faith, which you cannot do, or simply to present the case in a logical fashion for the truth claims of Christianity, which is more of Dr. Montgomery's bailiwick. Now, we had Dr. Montgomery on Monday right after the 4th of July, and then yesterday he was on the program to respond to Glenn Beck, to David Barton, and talk a bit about America as a Christian nation in both cases. And as his schedule would permit, right now he's deep in the middle of his own apologetic task in Strasbourg, France, teaching a small group of people there along with some other great teachers at his International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. One thing I noticed, I taught that one summer because he was just kind enough to invite me over there to teach, even though I'm completely and utterly unqualified to teach at that level. But he gave me a chance to teach for a week there in Strasbourg, and best food in the world. He was the best tour guide through the wine country there that there could possibly have been. And I was surprised how many of the students of that Academy of Apologetics were of the presuppositionalist type. That is, they believed that there was no presenting rational, logical arguments to any conclusion, but one had to accept the presuppositions of the Christian faith along with ideas like the veracity of God's word in Holy Scripture before the conversation could begin. And it was a very lively conversation there between the various apologists of various stripes. And I think an actual comparison of the two is very helpful. And I could think of none better to do it than Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. And I don't know that apologetics, which is kind of back on the rise with us again, I don't know that apologetics is getting a fair representation nowadays. There have been people who've been beating that drum for decades and have never stopped, like Dr. John Warwick Montgomery and others. And then there are those who are rediscovering. My sense is that younger Christians and especially younger pastors are rediscovering the value of evidential apologetics insofar as it is a limited tool. I would say not strictly an evangelistic tool, an evangelism tool, but a tool to do apologetics. That is to essentially destroy or dismantle, through logical argumentation, presentation of facts and history, the arguments of the skeptic of Christian truth. I think that's how Paul describes the apologetic task. That is, he calls it breaking down strongholds and taking every thought captive to Christ.
Good morning, gentlemen. In no particular order, someone let Todd know that the scientific study of animals is pronounced zoology. There are two O's, and they are part of two different syllables. So zoologists study zoology. Also, I think one of Craig's little one-liners that he records should say something about teaching the masses how to pronounce et cetera. Yeah, we'll leave it at that for now. I can always call back.
Well, thank you very much. I'm always a bit hesitant to try and pronounce words that I'm not completely familiar with. And I think I went with the colloquialism, there's one for you, and said zoology in some case. It must have been a zoologist that we had on as a guest, because I can't remember any other circumstances under which I would have been required to say the word. Thank you very much for the correction. We're always open to your correction. Yes, a fair number of our listeners and a fair number of our guests mispronounce the name of this show. It's just one of those things. It is pronounced Issues Et Cetera. Et cetera is the confluence of two Latin words meaning and other things. Et and cetera, other things or other matters or other stuff. And people with more degrees than I can count will often pronounce it Issues Et Cetera. They spell it correctly, but they pronounce it incorrectly. People who know Latin, who read Latin, will often pronounce it Issues Et Cetera. It's just one of those things. I don't correct them. I will do my best to always pronounce it the proper way. By the way, those liners are voiced by Pastor Michael Cum and not Craig. Craig has a terribly manly voice, but no one's voice could possibly reach the virility and the masculinity of Pastor Michael Cum. We will try and figure out a way of getting that into one of our liners. It's a great suggestion.
I'm not too picky about the proper pronunciation. I'm just glad that people have the actual name of the show correct.
We've been called Issues and Answers.
Issues and Answers. Most people think it's Issues and Answers.
Issues and so forth. What was the other one I heard?
Sometimes people just call it Issues.
Yeah, Issues. Issues and so on. Someone called that. Issues and Other Things, which is actually a good translation of Issues, etc. And we've gone, do you remember when we were kind of going around and around before we returned, Jeff, on whether or not we'd be using this name again? And there were legal and copyright issues, but there were also issues of, do we really want to be called Issues, etc. again? And we thought about it and thought about it and debated it back and forth. And lo and behold, when all was said and done and all the legal dust finally settled, turns out it's a pretty good name for the show. Not to mention the fact that that's how people knew us for so long and that's how people are going to know us in the future. More from the Issues Et Cetera comment line, Et Cetera comment line after this.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy is dedicated to promoting Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis around the world. We are the publisher of the Lutheran Catechesis Series, catechetical materials for use with adults and children, in congregations and on the mission field, in families and in schools. Visit our website at peacesussex.org.
You canceled the wrong show. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup holder for your double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com. You are
my soul.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Before I forget, a little earlier today, a visitor to LPR Studios, Paul Whitmore from Colorado, he was on his way, actually, I think, moving, or in the process of moving, from Colorado down to where in Florida? Tampa? Going down to Tampa in Florida, a long trip, and he was kind enough to make us a stop on the way. I want to thank him for stopping in, saying hello, spending some time with us, and for his long time listening, long time supporting Issues, etc. It's very nice to see long-time listeners like that. He's, you know, he's one of these military guys, and he supported us wherever he's been and listened wherever he's been. Jeff, did you know that one of his jobs, he told me, early in his Air Force career, was sitting in one of those missile silos out in North Dakota? You know, where the guys sit and just stare at blinking lights and at the key that could launch nuclear devastation. That was his job for 2 years, sitting in one of those missile silos.
I didn't know that, yeah. But I have been drinking beer on top of corn silos. Does that count for anything?
No, it doesn't count for anything
at
all.
Have you ever done that before? Climb corn silos and the top?
You mean to the top?
Look at the stars and...
You mean the rounded top things?
Yes, yeah.
That's a dangerous thing to do with a beer in your hand.
I know. Don't, children out there, please don't attempt to do that.
Can I just inquire a little further, trusting that your children aren't listening and falling under your bad influence? How old were you when you did this?
Oh, probably high school or somewhere around there.
So you climb, there's a ladder up the side of the corn silo. That's like one of the corn cribs that's got the holes in it. It's an enclosed silo.
Yes.
Okay, so you climb a ladder up the side, and you somehow balance yourself on the curved top of this thing, the domed top, and stare at the stars. Female company, I assume.
Yeah.
Staring at the stars, not you go up there by yourself to drink beer.
Would you believe it if some of the best ideas from Issues, etc. I'm 46 years old and I still do that. That's where I get to glean some great ideas for future show topics.
Really? Do you go up to
the top? I just drive around.
Go up, find a corn silo.
Southern Illinois, look for a corn silo and sit there, lay on my back flat.
Yeah, that's how the ideas come to him.
Just look at the stars and think of possible show topics. It's amazing what it can do.
He just sit there with this little yellow pad at the top. Can you picture him with his little yellow pad up at the top? Yeah, and his pen, he comes down, all refreshed. He's got a whole week's worth of shows all planned out.
So that's pretty serious stuff, though. I mean, what Paul Whitmore is doing.
I should say so, yeah. So, I mean, our listeners come from all walks of life. It's just amazing how we just run the demographic. Contrary, talk about another misconception, mispronouncing our name, misunderstanding who it is that listens to the show. I think it's kind of the common myth about it, and it's perpetuated by many who don't appreciate this show for what it is, that our listeners are kind of a small group of aging and ever more ossifying, hard-headed, kind of know-nothing Lutherans. And the absolute opposite is true. Because we get to meet them all the time. We get to talk to them all the time. And they're just all over the map, tell you the truth.
I think what's amazing is people in St. Louis know this. KFUO-FM, the classical music station. We used to work for KFUO, signed off last night at 10 o'clock.
I was listening.
And you brought up a good point. You know, those people got to say the goodbye that we never got to say. We were just immediately fired and let go.
Yeah.
But those people got lots of time to say goodbye to their people. And another interesting thing was this small ragtag band of listeners we had. I know they had almost 300 people show up for a worship service at a church, not on the KFUO grounds, but I know Sarah Brian Miller, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, about 150 people showed up for a candlelight vigil last night for the final hours of broadcast of Classic 99 KFUO.
The ultimate irony in that story.
And they just have millions of listeners.
The ultimate irony in that story was that they ended the evening by singing Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which probably hadn't played on KFUO FM in the last 25 years. I mean, maybe when the board of directors was in town, they were trying to impress them with their Lutheranism. But, I mean, it's sad to see that go, but there are other classical music options in St. Louis, and we even listen to them around here. I mean, when Craig isn't trying to blast us out with his 70s rock and roll, he's letting us work quietly
Well, and they still have one. They're still streaming their classical music station with
on-air
staff. And after I listened to Sign Off, I went to their website, classic99.com. And
it's still there.
It's still there.
Yeah.
It's amazing what the internet can do nowadays. You don't have to own a terrestrial radio station.
You don't, do you?
No.
All right. Here's another comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
This is Paul in Milwaukee regarding the special on synodical presidents. It was, in my opinion, very informative and timely. The guests and hosts knew what they were doing. I recommend the series to the upcoming synodical convention. There are parallels to today. As a mental and physical boy, I wrote Dr. Price asking him why not have formal heresy trials to fix the seminary problem. Somewhat to my surprise, he replied, saying that he lacked authority. I replied that, in my opinion, he could get it done. I had learned the Wisconsin Synod had such proceedings in the 1930s. I, too, heard that the two living members of the body investigating the St. Louis Seminary lacked mental furniture for their job. I have heard both on Issues Etc. and slightly know one and disagree. I teach undergraduates in another discipline. A late 1960s St. Louis graduate, smarter than I and more knowledgeable, couldn't understand how his beloved professors could stray. I, as an immature lay witness in the 1960s, thought that the Synod did not stop the seminary problem soon enough, and in keeping with the Eighth Commandment, suggest an Issues Etc. harms-era program to learn more on this point. By 1916, Lutherans thought the socialist Anglophile Woodrow Wilson would keep the U.S. out of war more so than his election opponent, Charles Evans Hughes, is beyond me. Thanks for listening.
And thank you very much for listening and for leaving your comment as well. Now, the show that he's referring to is actually a web extra that we did last week. We posted Monday this week. Profiles in Presidential Leadership in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. It's about an hour and a half, a series of five interviews. It's found at our website, the Listen on Demand page, issuesetc.org. It's also via the podcast. It's, if you're a podcaster, you probably already have it. As I said, about 90 minutes, some 20-minute interviews with, I think, probably the best experts that we could assemble in this respect. We had Dr. Martin Noland. We had Dr. Larry Rast. We had Dr. John Walraby, Dr. Paul Zimmerman, that Paul referred to in his comment there, and then Dr. Ken Sherb, and they were talking about, we just observed, about every 50 years or so, 40, 50 years, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's history, there was a president that emerged as an exceptional pastoral and theological leader. And so, largely at the suggestion of Dr. Ken Sherb, we were able to put together this excellent series of shows that we put into all one show. Find it at our website, issuesetc.org. Listen on demand. You'll see a picture of all those guests, and it'll say Web Extra, Profiles in Presidential Leadership in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Really, the theme that we found emerging from those historical studies of those men was what churches need by way of leadership is someone of pastoral heart and theological mind, someone whose vocabulary is Holy Scripture and not synodical bylaws and constitutional amendments and things like that, and whose heart is oriented toward serving God's people as the flock of Christ's calling and not simply running an organization. Well, here's some feedback from our recent interview with Dr. T. David Gordon talking about pop culture and church music.
Yes, this is Herman. Wanted to comment on the presentation on contemporary Christian music by Dr. Gordon of Grove City College. He was very insightful about the perspective and comparison on it, even comparing the song Jesus Loves Me as having more inherent and structure and intelligence for even children who can't yet read than the mainstay of so-called contemporary Christian praise music. Astounding. Along with that, I think that was a very excellent piece to present, very insightful, very needed. Also wanted to mention that article from Baptist sources about the high visibility and presence of active homosexuals in the contemporary Christian music business. This is very notable and explains a lot, perhaps, alongside what Dr. Gordon said. Very interesting to pay attention to these perspectives involving so-called contemporary Christian music. Well, good job, and glad to see you in going into your third year now. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the comment. Well, I came away from that conversation with Dr. T. David Gordon deeply impressed with something that I had honestly never heard any guest on the program observe before, and that is that American evangelicals, whether you find them in or outside of mainline denominations, American evangelicals are the first generation of Christians who are still trying to maintain moral absolutes while asserting very strongly aesthetic relativity, if you will. That is, all things aesthetic, matters of beauty and music and art, are all relative, all a matter of preference, but morality is still absolute. And it's a hard position to maintain. It really, truly is. You're either a relativist or you're not. We'll be right back. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
An 84-year-old Sydney Australian man has been named Citizen of the Year for his efforts to talk people away from a cliff near his home. It's an often used site for those committing suicide. This got me thinking about the women and men who choose abortion and sometimes later, when racked with grief and pain, also kill themselves. Even if things don't go that far, their lives are likely marred by the memory of ending the life of the baby. In a very real sense, if you talk someone away from the cliff of abortion, you may save them untold anguish, possibly even despair leading to suicide. Society lauds those who prevent suicide, but it condones the intentional killing of unborn babies and belittles those who talk women away from the cliff of abortion.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.